Good evening, everyone. Are you still awake? All right. Are you having a good Advent? Are you having a good Advent? Yes, great. Good to hear. Well, as you know, the word Advent really is simply means, from a Latin word, mean coming. Yes, C-O-M-I-N-G, coming. And who is coming in a few days? Jesus, that's right. Thank you. Thank you. Therefore, we have been preparing ourselves for almost a month for the coming of Jesus on Christmas Day. But why are we celebrating Jesus' birthday to his birthday? I remember when I was a child, I used to ask my mom, why do we celebrate God's birthday or Jesus' birthday? Her answer was always, because it's God's birthday. It's God's birthday. But theologically speaking, it's much more. It's much more than you and I and how we think about it. You see, for you and me, time is considered to be in the past, present or now, and the future. For God, time is the present and the now only. There's no past, there's no future. The spectrum of eternity is seen by God in one shot. There's not yesterday, there's no tomorrow, it's now. Right? So, when we celebrate Christmas, so what happened is time falls in time for the now time, God's time, to be there during the birth of a child, Jesus, in a stable. If we look at this way, we are not thinking about this birth being 2,000 years ago or 2,000 years old. To the contrary, we are participating in an event that took place long time ago, but in the now time, God's time, in the now's time. So we are there, just like the shepherd, there in the cave with him when he was being born. It's a wonderful way to look at it. Instead of thinking, well, it's 2,000 years ago, it doesn't bother me now, it's not really in my time. But we have to think about it. Time falls into eternity, and eternity falls into time, and we are there at the time of his birth. So, with that being said, let me just quickly recap in the last couple weeks of Advent. The first week of Advent got us started to give us the opportunity to change our hearts and stay focused in Christ. So everything we are doing now and have done, whether we turn the light on, whether we have a nice dinner, whether we invite a friend, should always think about Christ. It's his time. It's his birthday. It's his days. The second Sunday of Advent, we are reminded that St. Paul told us our preparation, our prayers, knowledge, and discernment to follow Christ with sincere hearts. We have to follow him with a sincere hearts. Will make us pure and blameless. This is what St. Paul told us. I didn't make it up. Will be pure and blameless and fill us with the fruit of righteousness that comes through Christ Jesus. And last Sunday, the joyful Sunday, right? We were reminded that we are saints in the making. You and I are saints, Father Mark too, and Dale and Deacon Dale too. We are saints in the making. Right? Always, so we are really transcendent being. We are transcendent being. Always searching for perfection to come in close relationship with our transcendent God. Think about that. So through humility, self-surrender, and service to others, we experience joy. Even if we live in the midst of difficulties, pain, and sorrow. We'd have joy and nothing really will bother you. In today's gospel, Mary, our spiritual mother, is filled with joy in spite of her difficulty, being ridiculed by others, parental disapproval, and possible stoning, and potentially facing divorce from Joseph. Think about that. Very tough situation for a 14-year-old girl. But she overcame fear with courage and faith. With courage and faith. Trusting God and carrying the word with W, with a capital W. Carrying the word in her womb. Mary set out and traveled to the hill country in haste, to a town of Judah. More than 10 days journey. 10 days journey away from her family, from her home, on a donkey. Have you ever tried to ride a donkey? Have you tried it? Well, you are looking at him. I did ride it many times, okay? On a rugged, dangerous roads in Jerusalem, in the Holy Land. Have you been there? It's rugged and very dangerous roads. To help and provide comfort to her older cousin, Elizabeth, who was also with a child at an old age. And she was told, as she was told by the angel Gabriel. Mary's joy overshadows all the pain and the problem that enveloped her. She was completely immersed in God's mercy and surrendered herself fully to his will. Can we do that? Can we do that? It's easy to say, but can we do it? Mary realized that the prophecy of the Messiah of old is being fulfilled in her. And I'm sure she knew and she heard when she was going to the temple, she heard what Isaiah said. Listen, behold, the virgin shall be with a child and bear a son, and they shall name him Emmanuel. Right? They shall name him Emmanuel. And in our first reading today, I'm definitely sure she knew what the prophet Micah said. And you, Bethlehem, Ephrathah, very small to be among the clan of Judah, from you shall come forth a king to shepherd his people. His greatness shall reach to the end of the earth, and he shall be peace. Peace. So as we continue reading the passage from Luke, let's do it again just quickly here. And Mary set out and traveled to the hill country, to a town of Judah. What did I miss? I missed two words. What are they? I read it again. Mary set out and traveled to the hill country in haste. In haste. To a town of Judah. Note that Mary used, it's really amazing, she traveled in haste. These two words changed the whole sentence. The simple sentence, it made so much bigger. By Luke adding these two words in haste. Have you ever thought about it? Why would Luke include these two simple words in his story? Was it just he did it without any thought about it, or there is no specific purpose? Was it the way it was, the way he heard it from other people telling him the story? Or there is something more? What do you think? Is there something more? I hope so, otherwise I wouldn't have gone through all that for nothing. Right? So there must be something more, right? So the word in haste reveals something very powerful about Mary and about what she was feeling at the time of her pregnancy. From having experienced shock, confusion, and fear, but acceptance, when the angel appeared to her at the Annunciation, Mary now, at the time of her departure to see her cousin, was completely different. She was transformed somehow. She was transformed. You see, Mary realized that, one, people in town, including her friend, are not going to stop gossiping about her. They're not going to. And you know what that is, right? It happened all the time. They would say, like, how can this be? This God, the most powerful God, the divine God, the infinite God, how is he going to be in this little girl? It doesn't make any sense. It's an impossibility. Their God is up there, not over here, right? So, two, Mary realized that she is the handmaid of the Lord. The minute she said yes, she became the handmaid of the Lord. She became a servant. And she knew that her cousin, Elizabeth, needed her. She is initially an older lady, and she is pregnant. She needed her. She immediately went out to help her. She is the handmaid of the Lord. And third, Mary knew that the only person in this world who would believe her and might understand what she was going through is Elizabeth. So Mary surrendered herself completely to God and let go of her fear, even though she had to travel up the mountain, down the valley, and the rugged roads for 10 days. Mary was excited, joyful, and could not wait to see Elizabeth to share with her the good news, the incarnation of God. Think about that. The most significant event the world has ever seen or known. The child she is carrying was about to change the course of a human history forever. The course of a human history forever. You see, Mary was not naive, even at her young age. She knew that her child will change everything. Her current life, the way others saw her, and even her future. Nothing would be the same for Mary, and even for you and me. Mary's confusion, doubt, and fear were replaced by hope, trust, peace, and joy. And nothing more beautiful than that, if we could just do half what she did. God was doing wonderful things within Mary and for Mary because of her yes. Even though she did not understand everything. She did not understand everything. How can anyone understand that, what she had been through? And here where faith comes in. Here where faith comes in. The faith of Abraham, and even more than that. And so we all must and shall pray for faith. We need it. As we continue reflecting on the Gospel of Luke, we see Mary was not the only one who was excited. Who else was excited? Her cousin, right? Elizabeth was excited too. She could not even hold her joy and excitement. Look what she told her. She said, "Blessed are you among women, and blessed is the fruit of your womb. How does this happen to me that the mother of my God, my Lord, come to me?" This is not just a simple, "Hello, Mary, I'm glad to see you. How was your mom and dad? How was your travel?" She didn't even mention any of this stuff. She said, "Blessed are you among women." Right? It was a very powerful statement. And who else was excited? There's one more person. John the Baptist, right? John the Baptist, he was leaping in his mother's womb when Mary came, when he knew his cousin Jesus is coming over to visit him. Jesus said to John, this is Eastern Orthodoxy, Jesus said to John, "Hello, John, I am here, I am your cousin. I am going to baptize you with fire, the fire of the Holy Spirit. And because I want you, when you are born, when you are 30 or 25 years of age, I want you to go in the desert and burn it. I want you to prepare the way for me." And John said, "Yes, I'm going to do it." This is why he leaped with joy. He was baptized by the Holy Spirit before even he was born. Right? Finally, I do not know about you, brother and sisters. I am finding out as I get older and older and older that the way I experience my relationship with others and the way I experience life in general depends more and more and more in my intimate, faithful, and trusting relationship with my God. This little baby is going to be born in a couple of days. We must not fear him because he is gentle and merciful. And after all, he is the way, the truth, and the life. He is. He told us that. And if we believe it, what else do we have to lose? Right? This does not mean that our life is going to be easy for you and me. No. Challenges, pain, sorrow, and even sin will come and go in our lifetime. And you know that. We experience sin, pain, and sorrow every day and every minute in our life, but we have to overcome it. We will be able to overcome it if we experience the joy of God. But our relationship with Christ will endure for an eternity. And as long as we keep our calm, look what happened to Mary. With faith, hope, and peace, faith, hope, and peace can triumph strife. And Mary did that because she had hope, faith, and peace. She was able to overcome the strife she experienced with Joseph. And she triumphed over sadness with joy. And most of all, the culture of life will triumph over the culture of death. To you and to your loved one, I wish you a very Merry Christmas.